It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, praise the Lord. His Bible is true, His Word is true, and He lives forever. Welcome to Bible Home Church. So good to be with you. We're right here at the headquarters in Austin, Texas, but wherever you're at, we're there in spirit with you, because God's Spirit pervades this entire earth, and He is Lord over all things, down below, here on earth, and in heaven. You know, Philippians says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And anyone out there, if you're not bowing yet to Jesus, well, you're going to be on your knees someday. It might be too late, though. It might be on Judgment Day, before that white throne judgment. So you want to take care of those things now while salvation is still available to you. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. We're still on our series, You Can Witness to the Lost. Today we're going to continue with our discussion of dealing with difficult people. Oh yes, we know about those people, don't we? We know about the difficult ones, and you know, these make the best Christians sometimes. I've always found the most obstinate, stubborn people, when they come to know Jesus, well, they're just stubborn and persistent for God then. And they use all their talents of being stubborn and obstinate, and they refuse to change once they know Jesus and know He's true. They're not going to go back to the way that they were. Some people have told me that converted Catholics make the best Christians. Well, they probably do, because the Catholic Church teaches a lot of good things. And then once they're born again and they have the Spirit of God in them, and having received these traditions from the Catholic Church of doing good and so forth, well, they can be wonderful Christians. And of course, you will be nowhere as a Christian, of course, without being born again through the Spirit of God. Well, how about those people say, I already belong to a church. You know, I don't really need to be born again. Anyway, no one can really know if they're saved or not. Then there's people just say, you know, I just got tired of serving God. Never got anything out of it. Another people, a person to watch out for is a person who says, well, just because I'm not really living for God according to your standards doesn't mean I'm not okay. Oh, good. It could mean that. We've got to talk about all of these things and much more. Dealings with difficult people, even with skeptics. How about a person who says, you know, the Bible's foolish to me. That's all foolishness. Person says, you know, I tried that once, that Christian stuff. Didn't work out. I just don't believe it anymore. How about some people say, I don't really believe the Bible is the Word of God. Some people say, I don't even believe there is a God. Oh, difficult people. But we meet up with them, and we love them anyway, and we can win many to Christ. Well, first, though, we're going to have our beautiful music, as we always do every program. Mac Evans is a great Christian singer. Believes in the Lord, and you're going to like this song because he sings the tune, He is Lord. This is Mac Evans. I'll be right back after this message in music.
He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue
already belong to a church. And I'm not born again. Well, you can belong to all the churches you want to. There are churches, and then there are churches. You know, Hebrews 12, verse 14 says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. It's one thing to go to church and be a peaceful person even, be a good person. But holiness is required. A lot of people say, I could not possibly maintain a state of holiness. Well, you can't do anything, but with God, all things are possible. You know, one of the largest and fastest growing churches in Dallas, Texas today is a church called Metropolitan Church. In fact, they're like a denomination now. They're in major cities across the United States. They're made up of homosexuals, sodomites, lesbians. The pastors, so-called, are themselves homosexual sodomites. So if you talk to one of these people, ask them if they know Jesus, they say, oh, yes, I belong to a church. I belong to Metropolitan Church. Just reading an Insight magazine, it's a news magazine much like Time or Newsweek or U.S. News and World Report, and Insight reports that at the Foundry United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C., where Bill and Hillary Clinton go to church, they just had a seminar for witchcraft, had an actual witchcraft ritual there, which doesn't surprise me at all. The pastor there is a very ungodly man. Now, if you talk to a person that goes to church there, they say, I'm a Methodist. I go to church every Sunday. They may be one of the ones that went to that witchcraft ritual there. They actually had a speaker at this Foundry United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C. that said that Jesus was a drag queen. Pretty sick people, of course, and blasphemers as well. Let me tell you what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 have to say. And it's all right, my friends, for us to confront these liars and blasphemers with the truth. It reads, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You notice it says there, adulterers, people like Bill Clinton better listen up. It's not a light thing with the Lord to be a fornicator and an adulterer. You say, well, I go to a Catholic church and I've even prayed to Mary there at that Catholic church. Well, it says idolaters will not go to heaven, will not inherit the kingdom of God too. You better get right with God, you Catholic person. Listen. Abusers of themselves with mankind. You're into some kind of sadomasochistic activity. You better get right with God. Well, I've stolen before, but it wasn't very much. I just cheated on my college term paper. Got something off the internet or got something out of an encyclopedia. Everybody does it. That's exactly the point. Everybody does it. Except men of God. Except women of God. Because thieves will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, many will say, though, I do know God. I'm a Christian just like you. And then they go on about their homosexual activity. They're cheating. I remember reading in the paper where some businessmen, I believe it was in Atlanta, Georgia, cheated some. These were very rich white businessmen. They cheated poor blacks out of their homes, and caused the county to a tax office to foreclose on these poor little black homes. Most of them were like shacks anyway, and they foreclosed and then had the sheriff come and tell the black families, get out or else. One of the white rich men was asked the question, the businessmen so-called, don't you feel guilty about what you're doing? I'll never forget what he said. He said, well, you know, Jesus said the poor will always be with you. That was his justification for cheating these poor people. He quoted Jesus. Well, my friends, it is true. The poor will always be with us. But woe to the person who robs and defrauds the poor. the book of James, we read about these kind of people. They get very rich. It says there that they defraud the working man, and when the working man complains, they actually kill them. A lot of times that has happened too. Well, Titus 1 verse 16 has something to say. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Where are your good works? You say, I don't need good works. I have faith. Oh, well, listen, friends. That's that easy believism stuff. It is true that through salvation you're saved and not of works. But after you're saved, if you have no works, then I think you're a bastard. I think if you have no works, you're just a liar. You're a reprobate. If your good works are abominable, if you're disobedient to God, in your works you deny Him, even though you profess Him, huh? By their fruits you shall know them. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? You meet a lot of people like that. Oh, yeah, I walked down the aisle when I was 7 years old, gave my life to Jesus. I talked to a so-called Christian rock music star one time about that. How dare you criticize my rock music, my heavy metal rock music, he said to me. In fact, he sought me out. I was on a radio show in Nashville, Tennessee. I was on the show for about an hour and a half. When I came out, he was waiting for me in the parking lot. Waiting for me. Boy, and he just came to, you know, just said, I won't tell you, you know, that you're doing the devil's work, criticizing this Christian rock music, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I heard you on the radio. I couldn't wait to get down here to this radio station to see you in person and tell you that. And he went on to say he was a member of this certain rock band and all of that. And he said, I want you to know that I gave my life to Christ when I was 7 years old. I walked the aisle. I said, so you have faith in Jesus Christ that He can save you? Yes, I do, he said. Well, that's wonderful. Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, though, can faith save him? Where are your good works? But then there are people who say, I have good works. I can prove it to you. Look at the good things that I've done. I belong to a church, and we have a food center there. We help the poor. We help the homeless. We have a homeless shelter. Isn't that worthwhile? Well, of course it is worthwhile. But John 3 verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You've got to be born again. Got to give your life to Jesus. Got to repent of your sins. Be truly sorrowful for your sins. And want through the depths of your heart to know God and to serve Him. And you've got to believe and have faith. And after you're saved and you have Jesus in your heart, I think a Christian cannot but do good works. It is an impossibility. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that He will arrange the things that you are to do every day. Did you know that? When you get up out of bed, you think, I'm going to plan my day here. I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4. That's what I like to do. You know, I get out a piece of paper and I write to do at the top of it. And I write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I write about 12 things, 15 things. I usually get about 2 or 3 done. It seems like the day is gone. I've only got 2 or 3 out of 12 or 15. We plan our days, my friends, and, you know, God sends other things. I like the quote one time I read, saw on a wall one time, a plaque. It says, life is what happens while you're making other plans. Well, God makes things happen for you. He opens the door and no man can shut it. That's in the book of Revelation. And by the way, that is the motto of our ministry. That's on our wall down here. God opens a door that no man can shut. Think about that. And He shutteth the door and no man can open it. Many people have come to me and say, Tex, I want to be a preacher, but I don't have money. I don't have backing. I don't have money to go to theology school. I don't have instruction. I don't have this. I don't have that. And I say, well, did God call you? And they say, well, yes. Well, what are you complaining about? You got everything you need. You got a call from God. Now get on with it. Go do it. Well, where? Well, I don't know where. Ask God. Ask God. You know, many years ago when I was a backslider and I turned back to Jesus Christ and gave him my all, Wanda was really worried about me. She said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. I said, what do you mean? She says, well, I know you. You are sincere. And when you get on with something and you're a believer all the way, and I know you are, and I know you're called by God, and that's what worries me. I said, well, what do you mean it worries you? She said, now, don't get me wrong, Brother Tex, my sweetheart. She said, I know that, you know, you're a real Christian believer, and I want you to be. I'm glad I have a man of God for a husband. But I also know this. If God tells you to put on sackcloth and ashes and go down to the University of Texas campus and preach there, become a street preacher down on the streets, in the dead of winter, you'll do it. And that's what I'm worried about. You're going to turn into a street preacher. We're going to be penniless out on the street. You're going to be a street preacher with one of those mega horns, you know, whatever they call them. The cheerleaders have, you know, you can't even afford a megaphone. Thank you. I can't even afford a PA system, you know. She said, I know you. That's what you do if God calls you to do it. And I had to laugh. I said, you know, you're right. And you're going to be my wife. She said, yeah, but I don't want to be out on the street. And she started to laugh too. You know, but, you know, Wanda really, deep in her heart, knew that she would do anything that God called her to do too. And I knew I had that kind of wife. So I was very blessed with that. Then I founded our ministry and our work, and we got tremendous criticism when we began to expose the New Age and occultism and Freemasonry and all manners of evil, and had the devil come upon us with full force. So much so that I started complaining to God. God, what'd you call me for this? I can't do this. I'm weak. I'm unable. I don't have the money. I began to whine and complain. Just became a big whiner. W-H-I-N-E. And then while I was praying one day, God told me something that was absolutely mind-boggling. There I was complaining, why me, why me, why me? And God said, because I knew you would do it. I knew you would do it. Friends, that's the question for you. Will you do it? Will you go deal with the self-righteous? Will you go deal with uncertain people, with backsliders? Oh, backsliders don't like to be talked to about Jesus. That's a name they don't want to hear, because they know. They know they're living in sin. Talk to them anyway. People say you'll never succeed. Well, do it anyway. People say you're going to be a failure. Everybody's tried to talk to that man about Jesus, and he just scorns them. Well, go do it anyway. You know, some people say, you know, you really don't know if you're saved anyway. I've lived a good life, but no one really knows if they're saved. Uh-uh. Here's what to tell a person like that. Read to him 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, I don't know for sure that I have Jesus. I said, well, then you don't have Jesus. Well, I did pray, and did Jesus come into your heart? Well, I don't know for sure. Well, then you don't have Jesus. Let's pray to Jesus right now, my friend. Now, there are some people that you see that, I don't know, they always want to be reassured. They always, no matter what. And I think sometimes, though, you are saved, and the devil just throws these little darts. You know, you had a little wicked thought. It may have only lasted for a fleeting moment, but that proves, Johnny, that proves, Kimberly, that proves, Timothy, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. You'd be perfect if you were a Christian. It's the old devil, you know, he's whispering in your right ear and telling you these little things. You lost your temper last week, he says. See, you're not a Christian. Oh, you looked on a man that wasn't your husband just for a quick second and said, well, he sure is handsome, uh-oh. And then you caught yourself, but for you to even think about it for a quick, darting second, that shows you're not really a Christian. Yeah, the old devil, he's accusing you night and day. Pretty soon you start to believe it. Well, you know, maybe I'm not a Christian. Maybe I really don't have Jesus. If I had Jesus, I wouldn't be subject to these temptations. Let me tell you something, my friends. Even Christ himself was a man, and he on earth, and he was subject to the same temptations as you and me. He overcame them. Here's how you overcome. You say he was God. It was easy for him. Well, just a minute. If you accept Jesus in your heart, you have God in your heart, and nothing can overcome him. That's why Paul said, sin not. Because when you do, you grieve the Holy Spirit. In a sense, you torture the Holy Spirit within you. Paul says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Don't defile the temple of God. But regardless of the devil's little darts, just close up that ear. Just say, get away from me, devil. Leave me alone. In fact, it's better not even talk with the devil. Just say, Lord, the devil's sitting on my shoulder. I'd like you to knock him off. Please do it in Jesus' name. That's the best way to do it. Don't even carry on a conversation with the adversary. Ask Jesus to do it. I love that verse in Jude. It says even the archangel Michael didn't dispute with the devil. He simply said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, I like that. That's a role model, isn't it? Don't even talk with the devil. Don't give him the time of day. And when he starts bringing up these little disputes and these little doubtings, he went to get Moses' body when he died. Did you know that? He wasn't perfect. He's mine. I'm going to take him down there to hell. But God had sent the archangel Michael to get Moses, bring him up to heaven. The devil began to dispute. You can't have Moses' body. Well, he's mine. There it says in Jude, Michael says, the Lord rebuke thee. No railing accusations against the devil. So friends, you can know you are saved, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Let's read John 5 verse 24. Oh, this is so wonderful. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Never forget a talk show I was on. I believe it was up in Chicago, Illinois. Man called up and he says, I'm really tired of you Christians condemning people to hell. Well, that sort of surprised me. I asked him for proof of that. I said, well, you know, sir, I've written best-selling Christian books, and I've given a lot of messages, and I don't remember ever condemning anybody to hell. In fact, if I wanted to, I couldn't do it. Oh, yes, you do, he said. You say that Hindus and Buddhists and those who don't believe like you do are going to hell. Well, I said, well, that's a far cry now from condemning people to hell. Well, why is that any different? He asked me. I said, well, the Bible says you condemn yourself. If you believe not on him that God sent, that is the Son of God, you condemn yourself. I don't do it. You are the rejecter, not me. God has provided an avenue of salvation. He has provided a way for you to inherit the King of God. But if you don't want to inherit that kingdom, that's your responsibility. I'm not condemning you. You condemn yourself. Even God didn't condemn you, because God provided a way of escape from this world and from the evil to come in hell. He provided a way. God didn't condemn you. You condemn yourself. You didn't want to go that way. You wanted to go some other avenue. Well, he didn't quite like that either. He said, well, why should I go your way? I said, because Jesus says the way is narrow, and few there are that enter at the gate therein. That's the way the world is made. You may not like it. If a young man wanted to join the military service, maybe the Air Force today, goes to see a recruiter, and the recruiter says, here's what you've got to do. You've got to take a physical, pass it. You've got to take a mental test, you know, aptitude test, and pass it. You've got to do these things. You've got to give us a birth certificate. Well, I don't want to do those things. Well, then you're not going to go in the Air Force. You know, that's the way the world works. I was watching a television show the other night. Flipping channels, looking for something to watch, and I don't even know what, it was a sitcom or something, but all I heard this guy say was, you know, I'd like to be a sports broadcaster, be famous, and earn $1 million salary. And the other guy sitting there said, well, that's usually reserved for celebrities, you know, sports athletes, celebrities, things like that. And the first guy said, well, that's not fair. Why can't I have that job? Well, I'm sorry. I was thinking, this is the way the world is. Why can't I have it? Because the way the world works is the way the world works, my friends. And the way the heaven, the kingdom of heaven works is the way it works. And the Bible says, here is the way God provides for his children. You can know that you're saved, but you're going to have to do it God's way and not yours. Well, we're talking, of course, about how to witness to the lost, and we're talking especially about difficult people. For example, a person who says, well, you know, the whole Bible and God's plan of salvation, that seems foolish to me. Well, I understand that. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And I'm going to end with that today, my friends. Do you have the power of God in your life? It may seem foolish to the world, but to us which are saved, oh, it is everything. This is Tex Mars, pastor of Bible Home Church. Hope you'll tune in next week as we continue this important series. Until next week, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.